our Lord and Savior preached a masterpiece on the side of a mount. Yes, Matthew chapter 5, going through chapter 7, we can learn lesson after lesson, can we not? Well, of course, we know we can. And one of the many lessons would be answering this question: what do we treasure the most? As you notice, chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then following that, we have another lesson concerning a single eye and an evil eye. Let's notice, beginning in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So we want to study this morning concerning having a healthy spiritual eye, having that eye properly focused. If we are to lay up treasures in heaven, we must have that healthy eye and have that proper focus. So let's study together this morning, how can we be sure that we have a healthy spiritual eye, that is, being properly focused on doing God's will. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, sir, preparing for eternity. And every one of us should know that's the most important thing that we must be doing if we're going to have that home in heaven. So we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. Yes, here in Martinsville, as we study the precious Word of God in our Bible classes, as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24, and you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we look forward to having Bible studies. Please let us know if you're interested in doing just that. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And let me give you our website address, and that would be www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get to our study this morning from Matthew chapter 6, as we noted, verses 19 through 23. To start out with, let's think about, of course, in the physical sense, how important it is to have healthy eyes. And we understand that clear vision is made possible by light coming into our healthy eyes. But if our eyes are diseased, or they're not with the proper shape, it affects our physical vision. Some of us need to wear glasses. Some wear contact lenses in order to correct the refractive error so the light will go through the lens and be directed to the retina in the proper way, and thus enabling us to see properly. Well, if you have diabetes or glaucoma, that can be very dangerous with eyesight. Some have gone blind, of course, from these diseases. And you think about distorted images coming from seeing double or blurred vision, which means the image on the retina is not clear but confused. That's certainly a problem, isn't it? And we sympathize with people in this situation. And thankfully, yes, eyeglasses can correct, you know, nearsighted and farsighted refractive errors, again, by directing the light to the retina in the back of the eye. I started wearing glasses in the second grade. Couldn't see the blackboard, and thankfully the teacher noticed it. I tried contacts when I was in high school playing football and into the military, but I'm back to the glasses for some time now, and I'm thankful that I'm able to see with this correction. But isn't it a sad situation when our eye problems cannot be corrected? Well, certainly. So what did Jesus mean when he said the light of the body is the eye? And notice, he goes on to say, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. There in verse 22 of Matthew 6. So a single, or that would be a healthy eye, would provide perception, reception of light. And in this case, of course, the light of God's Word. But an evil eye or a diseased eye distorts the light and causes darkness. Not a proper focus, is it? And an eye with folds may see double or have blurred vision. Using this physical illustration, Jesus taught a great spiritual lesson. So let's go now to the application, and that, of course, would be in a spiritual sense. What does it mean to have a single eye or a healthy eye in the spiritual sense? Well, since our mind, our intellect, is the eye of the soul, we must open our mind to the light of God's Word, which is, of course, the truth. Well, Psalm 119, 130 certainly goes along with this. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we can understand what God would have us to do. What God would have us to do in order to be saved, and in order to please God in living the Christian life, and so forth. We can understand those things. Notice now in the New Testament, Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul, as he was speaking to Agrippa. Yes. Now 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now notice, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The light of the glorious gospel needs to shine into our hearts. Of course, the gospel of Christ. An evil eye, or we could say a prejudiced mind, comes from accepting false and partial views which leads to the opposition and hostility to the truth, to the Word of God. And you can see what happens when people believe false testimonies. Well, you have examples, and of course, the news media will jump on something very quick without having the facts, as if they're reporting the truth, and it's not the truth. How many times has this happened? Well, you know as well as I do, and quite a few. I think you can recall a number of examples very quickly. So, the same is true in the spiritual sense. Now, let's notice John chapter 11, 47 and 48. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council, and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." Well, why did they reject the miracles of Christ? They had prejudiced minds. Their minds were already made up. Instead of accepting the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, He's God in the flesh, they did not want to accept that. They wanted to reject it. And they did. So, as we think about, you know, again, the situation with ourselves, are we looking at the truth with an open mind, accepting it as it is, or do we have our minds made up about what we believe in the religious area? What someone has told us that's sincere, but it's not what the Bible teaches. So this is what it means to have a single eye in the spiritual sense, to have that open-mindedness to what the Word of God is really saying and accept it as it is. How does the book of Acts end? It does not end with Paul before Caesar, as he had appealed unto Caesar, and certainly we would want to know how that turned out, as we would, you know, have that curiosity. But God chose not to answer our curiosity. He ended the book of Acts with Paul preaching the gospel of Christ as a prisoner. Acts 28:31. That should tell us something. Yes, the gospel of Christ needs to be preached and needs to be received and obeyed. Paul called together the chief of the Jews, verse 17. And you can see, as you study this, in verses 24 through 29, some were closed-minded because they were full of prejudice. Verse 22, they were still believing that the Church of Christ was a sect. And people still believe that today. How sad is that? Well, it's tragic. You see, the Church of Christ is not some designation for just one of the many religious groups that we have among us, another denomination. The Church of Christ is the church you read about in the Bible that began in Acts chapter 2, the first day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. Yes, this was in the first century. And the reason it's termed Church of Christ is because Christ possesses the body. Of course, the spiritual body is His. He purchased the church with His precious blood. Why shouldn't it carry His name? Should it carry some man's name? Of course not. So we see then that, sad to say, some look at the Church of Christ as just another religious group or some sect or whatever. But you see, that's not having a single eye. It's not accepting the truth as it's proclaimed in the Word of God. the churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. Well, notice, we must remove anything which would keep our vision distorted and our minds closed to the truth. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envyings, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, what about our desire? Do we desire the sincere milk of the word? Or what we want? The kind of like some smorgasbord religion, just take what we want to have and what we don't, we just pass up. Instead of accepting God's will and molding our lives in accordance. You see, that's having that evil eye, which is distorted vision. You know, a single spiritual eye requires a good conscience. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Paul certainly had a good conscience. He didn't violate his conscience. Even when he was persecuting the church, he thought he was doing God's will. That may be why God chose him to be an apostle. But notice, the conscience needs to be properly set. 1 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So if we set our conscience by worldly standards or by the current trends of society, that's not going to work. It has to be set toward God, that is, by His Word. And certainly an evil eye is representing a closed mind and a defiled conscience. A defiled conscience is going along with that closed mind. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. See how they go together? A closed mind and a defiled conscience. That's what the evil eye is representing. Now, having an open mind and a good conscience set by God's word, it must be combined with an obedient will. Otherwise, we would not have a single eye, that healthy spiritual eye, nor would our soul be full of light. Notice now James 1:21-25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But, here it is, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's right. Now, those who obeyed the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 2 on the day the church began are a good example of having an open mind to the truth and a good conscience. When their conscience was pricked, those 3,000 souls that obeyed the gospel, they wanted to know what to do to be saved. What shall we do? We realize we've crucified the Christ. And they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They were to be obedient to the gospel, and that meant they already believed. Peter didn't tell them to believe. It wasn't necessary, but they needed to repent. They would have made the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and of course they were baptized, as you see, the same day. They were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Verse 41, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 47, now whose church did the Lord add the saved to? There was only one to add them to. That was His church, His body. Yes, the church of Christ. Paul, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Samaritans, Cornelius, the Gentile, Lydia and her household, the Philippian jailer and his household are all good examples of having their heart and mind ready to hear the truth and to obey the truth. Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 16. Study those conversions. See what they did. Are we not to do the same? We certainly have to have an open mind to receive the truth. So, how can we be sure that we have a single eye, that is a healthy spiritual eye, and not the evil eye? Well, first of all, we need to guard our minds of certainly having prejudices or self-interest that can blind us from the truth. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Well, Satan, he used his craftiness in misleading Eve, just as he continues doing the same today. From deception came her false reasoning. But keeping our minds open to the Word of God and searching the Scriptures daily, we can discern, yes, and approve things that are excellent. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Search the Scriptures daily. Acts 17, 11, as the Bereans did. We don't want to be like the Sadducees. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Matthew 22:29. So, here's another way we can be sure that we have a single, healthy, spiritual eye. By keeping our conscience set by God's Word and live by answering our conscience. 1 Peter 3:21, let the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Number three, how can we be sure that we have that single, yes, healthy spiritual eye? By continuing in our obedience to God's Word. After we've obeyed the gospel, we're to continue in being faithful. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, yes, with fear and trembling. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That would be looking at the Israelites, wouldn't it? Of course. They fell in the wilderness. We don't want to do that. We're to add to our faith the Christian graces. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. Now, number 4, how can we be sure that we have a single, yes, healthy spiritual eye? And that is by not allowing worldly affections to distort our focus on Christ. Colossians 3, 1 through 6. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. That's right. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who's our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Yes, we don't want to have, the wrong type of passion and unnatural affection, evil desire and vile concupiscence and so forth. That's right. We must keep our focus on Christ. We need to keep our focus on Christ. We all should see that. And that's, of course, not a pun to be intended. But here in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now notice our text again, going back to Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, let's be sure that we understand to have that single healthy spiritual eye, our soul to be full of light. We must have an open mind, remove anything that would close our eyes to the truth. Is our mind open to be convicted by the Word of God? Have we set our conscience by the Word of God? Are we ready to answer our conscience by obeying the gospel of Christ and living faithfully? We stand ready to assist you in doing just that. Again, we have to hear the truth. We have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must repent of our sins, make a change of wills, ready to do the will of our Father in heaven. And then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. And now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And he will add us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ. And we thank you so much for listening today.